Verse 20 says, but as the believers gathered around him, he got up and went back into the town. The next day, he left with Barnabas for Derbe. Will you bow your heads with me? Father, we come before you tonight. Lord, we thank you for this day that is your day, Lord, set aside to worship you, God. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the worship, God, because you are worthy to be praised, Lord. God, we pray that right now, Lord, as we begin to open up the word, God, I pray that I would get out of the way, God, that your Holy Spirit would come down, Lord. Your word is anointed, but God, I pray that you would anoint me and use me, Father, for your glory. God, that you would open up our eyes, our hearts, and our ears to receive the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. With the Lord's help, I'd like to preach on the thought, heading back into the fight. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to get up and get back into the fight.
Amen.
Okay, this is going to work. You're going to have to be obedient. Turn to your neighbor and say it again. I'm just teasing. I had a dad joke for you tonight, but on the way here, I told it to my family, and they didn't like it very well, so. They were throwing tomatoes at me. We find here in this chapter 14 of Acts that Paul and Barnabas were on their first missionary journey, and they ran into some trouble in Lystra, the town that they were in. After healing a man, if you read the scriptures, the verses earlier, that healed a man, and Paul actually was the one that healed him through the power of God, they began, the people of this town, Lystra, began to worship Paul and Barnabas. In fact, the Bible says that they thought they were Zeus and Mercury's, I believe. And they began to worship them, and they began to come out and bring sacrifices. And when Paul and Barnabas seen what was going on, they began to tear their clothes, and they said, no, we're just mortal men. So this town began to have an uproar because these missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, came in, and they did a great work. But then some Jews from another town came in. They began to bring up strife and confrontation between Paul and Barnabas. And pretty soon, they switched the crowd, and they dragged Paul out, stoned him, and dragged him out of town, and left him for dead. Amen, is what the Bible says. And they sent him out, and they put him on a pile heap and left him for dead. I looked up what the word Lystra means, and it means to dissolve or disperse. Isn't that ironic? The town means to dissolve or disperse. Church, I don't believe so, because I believe the devil planned on ending the work of God right then and there in that town. Amen? This was Paul and Barnabas' first. This was Paul's first missionary journey. And I believe the enemy was out to stop Paul any way he could and can. And he almost did. He had Paul stoned and drug out of town.
Uh-huh. Come on.
Anybody tonight felt like Paul?
Brother Aaron. Yeah.
You feel like you've been drug out? You've been hit by the stones from the devil? Maybe one fiery dart after another? Does it feel like that you've been dragged out of your place of appointment in the kingdom that the Lord has assigned you to or promised to you? Church, have you been there tonight? Felt like the enemy has just stoned you or dragged you out and left you for dead? Maybe you feel like your assignment in the kingdom that God has promised to you has been destroyed. You see, the devil's tactic is to come in like a flood, the Bible says. That he'll come in like a flood. But the Lord says he'll lift up a spirit. He'll lift up a standard against him. Amen?
Sure.
But the enemy likes to overwhelm us. He likes to come in quickly. And that's what exactly happened here at this scene. Because Paul and Barnabas did a great work through the power of God. They healed this man who had been crippled. And all of a sudden, the enemy came back in and he turned the crowd against them. And Paul was suddenly stoned and left for dead.
Come on, brother.
One moment they were sitting worshiping the Paul and Barnabas. The next moment they were stoning him and trying to kill him. You see, church, the enemy loves to overwhelm us. He loves to bombard us and stone us to the place where he can just drag us out of town and leave us on that trash pile. Amen? Leave us out there for dead. The enemy loves to do that, to take our position out of the kingdom. He loves us to throw us on the trash pile. You see, church, hell trembles at Christians that are full of the Holy Ghost and are fighting for the kingdom. So much so that the enemy wants to take you out even more. Amen, church? If you're filled with the Holy Ghost and you're filled with the power of God, the enemy is on, he's on you, you're on his radar. And he's after you tonight, church. Amen?
Amen.
You want to know if you're making an impact for the kingdom? Check and see if the enemy's in your rearview mirror. If he's not, then you need to get back to this altar.
Yeah.
If the enemy's not on your tail, then something's wrong, church. Because you see, if you're not a blood-bought, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled person for God, man or woman, the enemy doesn't have to do much. Every once in a while, he'll jerk your chain a little bit. But you're living in the world. You're living for him. You don't have to do anything. But if you're sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, He's going to be on your tail, amen? Check your rearview mirror and see where he's at tonight, church. But rest assured, if you're filled with blood bought tonight, the enemy is on your radar, and he knows who you are. Right. Folks, in these final hours, the enemy is out to do exactly what John 10:10 says. You know what it says? It says the enemy comes what? But to steal, kill, and destroy. He is out to destroy us tonight, church. He wants to take us down. If you are bought by the follower of Jesus Christ, he is coming after you tonight, church. Because we are the church. And the Bible says that the church, the gates of hell, will not prevail against us. But he knows if you are a blood-bought Christian tonight, church, and he's going to come after you. But notice what happened. The devil thought he had killed Paul. It said that they stoned him, and they drug him out of town, and they left him there. The enemy thought that he had taken out Paul before Paul even got started. This was Paul's first missionary trip. And here he had him stoned. Most people don't live back in those days from being stoned, amen?
Yeah.
Have you ever been hit by a rock? It hurts, doesn't it? I remember a few years ago, we was out and Christina was helping me and she was mowing and I was weeding. And she hit a rock. And you know what happens when you're mowing and you hit a rock? It doesn't just bust in half, does it? It sends shrapnel in all directions. And I was over here weed eating and pretty soon a piece of shrapnel hit me right above the ankle, a rock. And I was doing a dance, and it wasn't a dance of the Spirit, amen?
Yeah.
It hurt. In fact, it left a big old bruise for 2 or 3 weeks. Rocks don't feel good, and it didn't feel good to Paul either. He was basically left for dead. But could you imagine being stoned tonight, church, and what that felt like? It should have finished Paul off, because as soon as the believers gathered around him, something happened.
Uh-huh.
He came back to. And notice what he did. He didn't just get up and shake himself off and run to the emergency room, like most of us would, and I don't blame him. I don't blame you if you did.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, rocks don't feel good.
Come on.
Especially if you're hitting the head. But he didn't go to the ER, and he didn't go and try to find his way back out of the backside of town. Church Bible says he got up and he went right back to the place where he got stoned. I mean, nowadays, a paper cut keeps us out of church.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Come on. Yeah. The last 2 years, COVID, look what happened. It didn't take much to get us out of church.
Yeah. Come on. Yes, sir. Preach, Brother Aaron.
Instead, Paul got up, the Bible says, and he went back to the very town where they stoned him. Most of us would have looked for the backdoor exit to get out the other way or sneak out at night. I know I would have.
Yeah.
I'm being truthful with you. Don't look at me like that. You would too.
Yeah.
But Paul, Bible says, he went right back to the place where they stoned him. In other words, he walked right back to the fight. He went right back to the very place where he almost got killed. Was Paul suicidal? No, church, he was filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
Folks, it's time. Us Christians, get back into this fight. When Satan tries to take us out, and he may get close, some of us may get dragged out of town, spiritually speaking and physically speaking, because your adversary, the devil, will try everything he can tonight, church. And he may get some of us, and he may drag some of us out for left for dead. But the good news is, church, tonight, unless we draw our last breath, we're not dead. Amen? Unless I'm buried 6 feet under and I'm cold and dead and gone, I still have life in me. I can serve God. Amen? And the enemy may throw me out on the trash pile a few times. But church, I'm going to get back up with the help of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
And get back into the fight.
Amen. Yes.
Maybe you're here tonight, church, and the enemy has taken that. He's taken your health, your dreams, your marriage, your children, your ministry, your finances. You can name it, whatever it is. Maybe the enemy has taken whatever you have, and he has taken that out and dragged it out of town and left it for dead. And it feels like you've been hit so hard by so many stones and arrows. And it just feels like you've been dragged out. Mm-hmm. Have you been there tonight, church? I know I have been there several times. It feels like the enemy just bombarded me and just, I'm done. And he just drags me out and leaves me. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to do tonight, church.
Yeah.
He wants you to get to the place where you say, that's enough. I am done.
That's right. Come on, brother.
Just drag me out and throw me on the trash heap. But church, trust me, We got to get back up and get into the fight.
Back up.
Notice what verse 20 says. Read with me there real quick. But as the believers gathered around him, he got up and went back into the town. Notice what that first part says. It says, as the believers gathered around Brother Paul, they didn't start planning his burial. They didn't start going and getting his casket. The Bible says that they gathered around him. Amen?
Yes, sir.
And this is from the book of Aaron. In other words, this is my opinion. I believe as they gathered around him, they began to have a prayer meeting, church. They began to pray for him. Again, they weren't going out looking for corner. They weren't looking for the corner. They were praying and they were believing. The Bible says that he got up. I believe they had a prayer meeting right then in their church.
Yeah.
I believe that they began to call out on the mighty name of Jesus. And we need each other, folks. Now more than ever, as the days are getting darker, we need each other. We need this church. We need the body of Christ, amen? Because you're an enemy. The devil is like a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he's going to devour. Church, and we can't stand up against him alone. We need each other.
Yes, we
do. Amen? We need the power of Jesus, but we need each other as well.
We need each other.
We can't fight this battle alone. We need each other.
Yes, sir, we do.
We need to gather around each other. We need to see one brother and sister go. When we see one brother and sister go down, we need to be there. Instead of ridiculing them or saying they deserve that or saying, or you know, when a pastor falls or whatever it may be, instead of talking about it, we need to be praying for them, amen?
Yes, amen.
We need to be lifting each other up instead of bashing them. We need each other. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12 says this. Very familiar portion of scripture says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls and alone is in real trouble. Likewise, verse 11 says, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. New Living Translation. Church, we need each other. One person alone, you can't do it. You need two or more. Amen?
Yes,
three is even better.
Yes.
But we need each other.
Yes, we do.
To be able to stand these times. When the enemy comes in throwing stones and fiery darts, church, we need each other. But fear not, child of God, for the second part of John chapter 10:10. I read it a while ago. The first part starts out, the enemy cometh, but to kill, steal, and destroy. What does the last part say? He comes to give you life. I'm come that they may have life and they might have it more abundantly.
Yes.
Church, it's time to pick yourself up and get back into the fight.
Yes, sir.
You see, church, Satan trembles when this happens. When his sure plan and his defeat gets thrown right back at him, he trembles. He can't stand that.
Yeah.
He thought he had Paul dead. He thought he had stopped him right then and there.
Yeah.
And imagine what would have happened if Paul died. There was two more missionary trips plus a trip to Rome that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And all of the ancient world would have been not converted like it was the churches formed that Paul formed. They would have not existed. Christianity might not even made it to where it is today.
Right.
But Paul got up.
Got up.
The enemy doesn't like it when his plans fail, church. Notice what happened to Abraham. Remember what happened to Abraham? The enemy thought he would wreck Abraham's life and the promise. God called Abraham out of his land, of his father's. Told him he was going to promise him a nation. But there was one problem. Abraham had no offspring.
Uh-huh.
And so the enemy came along and he began to wreck that.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Abraham and Sarah tried to solve the problem themselves. Ishmael came along and the enemy thought he had wrecked that.
Yeah.
But church, God caused Sarah's womb to open up. And Isaac was born, the promise. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
The devil thought he had it. He thought he had stopped that nation right there with Ishmael. But then God opened up Sarah's womb.
Yes.
There's another account of David. The enemy thought that he had David. Pastor spoke on David this morning. David had a lot of faults, but he was a man of God.
Yes.
But he also, there came a time when he sinned, slept with Bathsheba, got her pregnant. And then killed Uriah, committed murder. And the enemy thought that maybe this was the chance to take down David, this mighty man of God, who took down Goliath and took down all of these different enemies of God, or Israel, who were enemies of God. And he thought, this is the chance. He killed a man. Took a wife, or took a woman that wasn't his. But God turned that around, and David repented. The scriptures that Pastor read this morning, and I believe are those of him repenting from what he did with Bathsheba and Uriah. And that baby died because of those circumstances. But God blessed him with another baby through Bathsheba, and that was King Solomon. And we all know what happened there. Amen? The wisest, one of the wisest men to walk the planet. Church, Jesus was crucified and hung on a tree for 2 days, and all hell partied like it was 1999. Some of you will get that song referenced later. Us Generation X and Boomers know exactly what that means. Amen? You younger guys will figure it out. Just Google it. But on the third day, church, Jesus rose. Amen? Then he thought that he had taken the Son of Man. He thought he had taken God's only Son. And he thought he had crucified him on a tree, even though that was part of God's plan. He thought he had taken him down. He thought he had done one. He thought he had knocked him out, and it was over. And all hell partied for 2 days. Can you imagine what it went through? If you like Carmen, there's a song, Sunday's on the Way. It talks about this. And Google that when you get home. Check it out. You'll like it. But the enemy thought he had it done. But then the third day came. Amen, church? Yes. And Jesus rose. And the enemy's plan was foiled. You see, church, the enemy doesn't like it when it gets thrown back in his face. And tonight he wants to take you, and he wants to take you out. But church, if you get back up and get back into the fight, you're going to throw it back in the enemy's face. And he doesn't like that. But what Paul did tonight, he went on to tear up the ancient world with the gospel like I talked about. Yes, and no wonder the devil wanted to take him out, church. He wanted to sniff him out right then and then. But child of God, don't give up. Don't give in, even when the enemy is hitting you from every direction. Right. Pick yourself up with the power of the King of Kings and get back into the fight tonight, church. We need you tonight. Yes, we need you in this fight. Amen. Amen. As we're seeing the closing times coming, the end of times are closing quickly. It's darkness is all around us, but you know what happens when it gets darker? The light shines brighter. Yes, and the enemy knows this. And he knows that if he can take out believers, if he can foil the plans of the believers, if he can drag you out and leave you for dead, then he's got a chance. But church, you need to get back up.
Get back up.
Church, when we see somebody go down, we need to get around them and gather around them and begin to pray. We need to get off our phones and begin to pray for them. Amen?
Amen.
I'm just as guilty. I'm preaching to me. It has to come through me first. I'm just as guilty as anybody. But church, we need each other. We need to lift up the body of Christ. And we need to get back into the fight. The enemy knocks you down, get back up. Dust yourself off and head back to the firing line. Just like the old song says, we need to be on the firing line. Sure, the firing line is dangerous. It's much more cozy in the back, amen? It's much more easier not to be on the front lines. The front lines is where it's dangerous. The front lines is where you're going to get wounded a few times. The front lines is where the battle's at, church. It's much easier to be in the back.
Come on.
In the back seat and let everything go on. But church, tonight we need you on the firing line, amen?
Firing line, yes sir.
Every time you do that, you send cold chills down the spiny, crooked back of Satan. What kind of person gets up after being stoned and left for dead?
Yeah.
And goes right back to the fight. Paul did. All these patriarchs of the Bible did. You can, church. I can. The church can. Church, it's time to head back to the fight. It's time to get back up and get back into the fight. We can't afford not to as we see these days coming. The days are approaching quickly. Amen? We don't know when Jesus is coming back as far as that actual moment.
Right.
Nobody does, not even Jesus. But we know the signs. Amen?
Yes, sir.
We know exactly what he says.
Yes.
When you see the fruit, we know what's coming, church. We're in those last days. Amen?
Amen.
What kind of person do you want to be? Do you really want to be the person that's dragged out and left for dead and you just stay there? Or do you want to be the person that gets back up?
Get back
on the firing line. Will you stand with me tonight? I told you to be quick.
Bow your heads with me, Brother Chris, if you'll come back to the piano. Father, we come before you tonight. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, for your moving in this service already, God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for touching lives, Lord. Over these next few moments and seconds, God, I pray that you would have your way, touch the hearts of your people.